It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
And we are here. Good afternoon, Los Angeles. We had a double there. It's Alan Gervie right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And you are listening to Gervie's Law. I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. There is so much to talk about. I wish this hour was actually 3 hours, but it is only an hour, so we got to get going. Sitting across from me, staring at me in my visor, is none other than Kerry Kasem.
Oh, why, thank you. Thank you so much. Dino's clapping for me. You've got your Rowan Gervie and Wynn visor on, so that's why I'm staring at it.
Yeah, what does it say on the side of it?
I think advocacy for injured workers.
Yeah. On my visor today, I will always advocate for those who cannot advocate for themselves. Today we have an exciting show. Later on in the show, we have none other than the prenup expert, Jeff Alpert, will be right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. So if you are going to be getting married and you need to have a prenuptial agreement, or you're not sure if you should have one or not, listen later in the show. With Jeff will be the law doc. That's right. It is John Stahlberg, who has some really interesting perspective on prenuptials and how to deal with them, how to deal with people who are trying to enter into an agreement before they get married, and whether that agreement will actually quash the marriage. What do you think about that, Kerry?
I was about to ask you, do you have a prenup, Alan?
I don't think I'm going to comment on that.
Look at that.
But I have some familiarity with the subject, so I'm looking forward to talking to Jeff about it. Today is rivalry weekend. It's UCLA versus USC coming up in a bit. We can hardly wait to see who wins. Who do you think is going to win today, Kerry?
No idea, Alan. Why don't you tell me?
UCLA will win by 11 points.
Do you have a, is that what, is your bookie?
Not my bookie,
no.
Just my head is telling me that.
You haven't laid the bet yet, huh?
Not yet, no. And of course, later on today, right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC, you will hear the Los Angeles Kings playing against the Dallas Stars. I think the puck drops at 5 from Dallas. So as soon as you finish listening to our show, you want to later on check out the pregame show with Nick Nixon and Daryl Evans right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
I'm really surprised that the one person wearing the jersey here is not you, but Dr. John Stahlberg. You, why are you not in your jersey?
Well, I'm not a huge Kings fan, actually. I'm a Winnipeg Jets fan, so
I
would wear my Jets jersey, but I do respect Kings fans, and he is wearing his Kings hat and
his
Kings jersey.
But you talk about the Kings all the time.
I talk about a lot of things all the time, but it doesn't mean that I'm a true fan.
You talk about me all the time.
Talk to my wife. She knows that I am a very, I have so many interests. I'll talk about everything, but you can never tell if I'm really liking the thing or not, but I'll talk about it.
Yeah, I really thought you were a Kings fan this entire time I've been working with you. I feel
I'm a hockey fan. Hockey fan, yes, and I'm proud to be here on the station who broadcasts the LA Kings. But I got to tell you something. You know, we talked about the rivalry weekend with the football, UCLA-USC. I got to go on my rant, my weekly rant right now. And first, before I go on that rant, I have to tell you, this is the disclaimer. I am a huge Minnesota Vikings fan, and I am, my favorite player was always Adrian Peterson. I have him on my fantasy team. He sat on my bench the whole year because he's not playing, And I have to tell you, this week, Adrian, of course, was in the news because he was suspended by the NFL, Commissioner Goodell. He was suspended till April 15th next year, where they'll look at the situation again, reevaluate it, and decide how long his suspension is going to be. So I listened all week to Sports Talk Radio, and they talked about Adrian Peterson being the worst human being in the world. And the fact is that, you know, Roger Goodell never got anything right, but he got the Adrian Peterson right. And I have to disagree. As a lawyer, as a person who is licensed by the state of California to practice law, people don't know what they're talking about. We have to separate the act and the punishment. I am not here to be an advocate for child abuse or for disciplining your child by hitting them. I don't believe in it. I am a child lover. I have two little babies myself, and I hug them constantly. We went to Disneyland yesterday with the cutest picture of the kids with Mickey Mouse. I spend my life loving kids, and I would never harm them. However, we have to look at punishment. In the legal system, we have a system set up where we punish people for crimes. In this particular case, Adrian Peterson pleaded no contest, was fined $4,000 and 80 hours of community service. And then the NFL, holier than thou, decides that they know what punishment is, and they're not going to let him play football. If they ever looked at the statistics for drunk driving, for theft, for assault and battery, for break and enter, for fraud, for insurance fraud, to see what people get who are guilty or plead no contest to these crimes, if they saw what they received in terms of punishment, they would say, why is Adrian Peterson being singled out to not ever play football? He needs help. But Commissioner Goodell says, well, he didn't show that he really understood how terrible his act was. That's why he needs help. But let the guy play football. He hasn't played for 9 games, and he's suspended for the rest of the season. But that's not how the law treats it. We can't take punishment into our own hands unless we are prepared ourselves with the law to change the whole penal system and the whole system of punishment, whereby everyone is going to be put in jail forever and ever because they committed a crime. Let people get rehabbed, but let them work.
I'm going to agree with you to a certain extent. I really am. I don't think what happened to Adrian Peterson is fair at all. Getting suspended like this is ridiculous. I was spanked. I had the belt, okay? I don't think that my mother or father are abusers. They knew how to raise me because that's what they learned. And eventually, I think they realized, oh, that's not the way you do things with children, and you learn. You don't... Now, here's another way that I look at it, too. The association, that it's huge, it's private. If they say, hey, we don't want you doing this and this, you can't work for us if you do this, this, and this, well, okay, he works for that association.
Right.
I understand that. It's not the law. so if it was the law saying, you're out of money, but he's not. So I look at it both ways. What they've done is wrong. But he does work for a privately owned, it's the Football Commission.
And that's a good point, Carrie. I'm not going to take umbrage with your point there because it is a private organization. But at the same time, do we want our employers heavy-handedly dropping us, kicking us against the curb for things that, get the guy help. He missed 9 games. Let him miss, suspend him without pay. But let him play football.
I agree. And child rearing classes is probably what you should have done.
Right.
Not say, how dare you? Let me punish
them.
You.
People
right.
need to learn that there's a difference between abuse and discipline, and you have to learn how to discipline your children without abusing them. But let the guy play football. He's not Charles Manson.
Good segue.
Charles Manson's getting married. It's funny. I saw one of these e-cards.
Yeah.
Those weird things that you see on your Facebook page or
yeah.
Instagram, and it said, best of luck explaining while you're single at the Thanksgiving table and Charles Manson isn't. So why are we letting this guy get married? A lot of outspoken people for gay marriage, and of course 30% of the U.S. does not allow gay marriage, 15 states, and that will be going to the Supreme Court later on this year, but they're saying gays can't marry, but serial killers can. What is the law on that? Should we allow him to marry?
Of course we should. Why not? I mean, look, I think if we were being kind and sane and we were, you know, we try and get the woman help, you know, because what is she doing? She's 26 years old. Star, I think that's what she calls herself.
Afton Elaine Burton is also known as Star, and she was given a wedding license by the state of California. She grew up as a very religious Baptist, and apparently something went wrong. She now says that he's a political prisoner, not a mass murderer, and this is what she was born for. But, Carrie, this is something that you'll really be interested in. If you go to Bed Bath & Beyond, you can find their wedding registry. And here are some of the items on Charles Manson's registry. There's a beer-making kit. There's a cowboy hat chip and dip
Now, you're right. Is Manson allowed to have these gifts in jail with him? Can he?
The other point was there's 140 wine glasses, 80 white and a bunch of red. And it's specific 80 white and 20 or 40 red. Doesn't add up to 140, but, you know, who cares? The fact of the matter is, are they going to have huge parties in... Huge parties?
Is there like a jailhouse kind of party thing? Can you do that?
Big dinner parties.
I mean, I know they do dances. I mean, you saw that father-daughter dance thing that they did in jail the other week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe they have...
But he can't have a conjugal visit because anyone in California isn't allowed a conjugal visit without a parole date. If you have a parole date, you can have a conjugal visit.
What?
But Manson doesn't have a parole date, so no conjugal, no sex for Star. With the 80-year-old, that's another issue. Can the 80-year-old perform?
Does the guy have any money? Because I know he's sold paintings. He's released an album. I wonder if this guy actually has money, and she's in for the money.
I don't know.
Smarter than
we think
she is.
But if you were thinking of getting him a fondue set, it's already been purchased.
Oh God, that was.
Purchased the fondue set. Right. We're going to leave it at that. We got so much more to talk about. We got Jeff Alpert coming up later with the law doc, John Stahlberg. We're going to talk about Michael Phelps and, of course, Bill Cosby after this. Don't miss it. If you want to call us, we're at 800-222-5222. If you want to talk about any of these subjects, call us at 800-222-KABC. We'll be right back.
The team's quest for back-to-back titles and three Stanley Cup championships in 4 years is underway. And the only place you'll catch every slap shot, every bone-crunching hit, and every goal
in front ground scores
is here.
Hi, this is Nick Nixon
and Darrell Evans.
Join us for Kings Hockey tonight as the Kings take on the Dallas Stars at 4:30
on your new home for Kings Hockey, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Any person who makes a cause to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Burby, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn. 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gerby's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Nice. I feel like we're in a lounge.
Take five, right?
Take five. We're going to be talking prenuptial agreement, like the music. I'm an FM jock. This is Alan Gervey, and I'm back, and I'm here with Carrie Case, and we're really excited to be talking about all of these interesting things that happened this week. Before we talk about Bill Cosby, I do want to talk to Mike in Sherman Oaks. Mike, you're
Hi,
on Gervey's Law right here
Hi.
On Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Great, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Regarding the Adrian Peterson case, and even though the NFL is all over the place regarding Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson and inconsistency in levying punishments, here's where maybe I disagree with you a little bit regarding what Adrian Peterson could have done to show remorse. In the county of Los Angeles, when someone does something that is of domestic violence or violence to a child, they usually have 52 weeks of domestic violence classes they have to take. I do something similar to what you do, and I don't promote my show on any other radio shows, but I did have the founder of the Center for the Prevention of Cruelty to Family Violence on, and what she said, and she takes the court referrals, and what she said is, you come in and you do this as a preemptive type of thing to show you just don't
right.
get punished and you get redeemed, you get knowledge. And this is nothing that Adrian Peterson has done. He just got his punishment of not playing
right.
administratively, but he got paid all those times. So for him to say that he learned his lesson is no, he did not learn his lesson. He didn't learn about impulse control. That is the word that you're way ahead. You're going to be way ahead of everybody else by learning that one phrase, impulse control,
okay,
whether
Mike.
It's in domestic violence or in disciplining your child.
Mike, I have a couple questions for you. First of all, are you a lawyer?
No, I'm not a lawyer.
Okay.
I'm a talk show host.
A talk show host. Mike, tell us about, you know, impulses, because for me it sounds like it's something that can't really be taught in either 52 weeks or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. How do you control impulses? Because a lot of what we do in the law involves impulses, anger, like you said, and I don't disagree with you, but how are we supposed to know with each individual when they are going to be, quote-unquote, reformed or rehabbed?
Well, great, great question. Okay, cause and effect. You take a, you have a fight with your woman, and let's say you're the one who bought the house as the man. Here's the exam. And you're fighting in the middle of the night, and you're arguing.
Right.
And then it's going to escalate. Instead of saying, well, I bought this house, and you get out, and it can escalate. You as the man, and this is the way the law has been explained to me, that you as the man get out of your house, and you take, and this is how you de-escalate a situation. Rather than, even if you are hit, because if you as the man hit the woman, you become, and here's another key phrase, the dominant aggressor. Unless your woman, the lady is Ronda Rousey, the head of the your champion in the UFC, you're going to be deemed as the dominant aggressor who can do more damage. So that's how you learn it in these classes in these 52 weeks. Or no, you're going to lose your child. And for children, no, you're going to lose your child to child services. So you
wow.
it's reinforcing of the cause and effect of not controlling your impulses, guys.
Okay,
that's
okay,
how
okay.
it works.
I hear what you're saying. Here's the thing for me. I don't
so
necessarily believe in all this stuff. Like in 52 weeks, you might learn a little bit about the law. Okay, let's just turn the music off there.
Okay, I love it.
So you might learn a little bit about the law. I don't know about learning about impulse control. I think it's learning about how you should raise children and the effects of hitting them and the effects of violence on them instead of an impulse control. But, I mean, you could learn, I guess, the law in 52 weeks and go, oh, I better not do that. I could go to jail.
The real question, though, is why are we quantifying for work purposes when someone is going to learn or not learn? The law doesn't do that. If the law did that, a lot of people would never be able to work while they are either pending a trial or when they're accused or even after they're convicted. Do we take away a man's ability to make a living? Isn't it a little harsh? I'm not saying that he shouldn't be, Adrian Peterson should not be punished. And like you said, Mike, I don't think he should be paid. So take his money away, but let the guy play. My fantasy team is really hurting right now.
You know, I hear you about that. Well, take a look at the new proposition that just passed, Proposition 47. specifically could address people that were in non-violent drug and other types of crimes. But also, sure, I've studied a little bit of law, but there's things that are called wobblers that are felonies that, that could be expunged. And not wanting to do too much law since I'm not a lawyer.
Well, we've talked about wobblers quite a bit on this show.
That'll keep you from getting a job if you have a felony. But if you have a misdemeanor, maybe someone's going to take a risk with you.
And Mike, thanks for the call. Of course,
thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Adrian Peterson did plead non guilty to. No contest to a misdemeanor. Let's talk about Bill Cosby really quickly. So, what's the statute of limitation on rape?
You know, you're the lawyer. You should know.
Well, according to Lori Levinson, who was quoted this week, that since these alleged sexual abuse cases and rapes occurred so many years ago, that the statute of limitations does take effect, and Mr. Cosby, 77-year-old Bill Cosby, cannot be prosecuted. And so we'll never know the truth of who's telling the truth.
Well, there's so many women who've come forward now. So many women that don't have to come forward, that have careers, that are making money. I think Michelle Hurd is one of them. She's an actress who came forward and said he basically molested her.
Yeah.
And had a friend who was then raped by him. And she doesn't have to come forward. She didn't have to say that. Bill Cosby made a statement to the press the other day. He said, "I know people are tired of me not saying anything, but a guy doesn't have to answer to innuendos."
I do.
Yeah, right? People should fact check. People should fact check. That's where it gets me. People should fact check. Well, people are listening to what other women are saying. Is that not fact checking?
Janice Dickinson, too.
Yeah.
I mean, she's had a long career. She was like one of the first supermodels. Right.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, I want to hear what Bill Cosby says, just like I do with my clients. I'll tell you something. I have so many clients that come in on a weekly basis. I had one that came in who was sexually harassed and by someone well-known in the community and in the world. I'm not going to mention his name, but he was well-known. She accused him of being sexually harassed. I want him to answer in a deposition whether he did it or not. When I ask him questions, my client is accusing you of kissing her in public, of putting his hand on her buttocks in public. I want to know, did you do that? If you say to me, "I don't want to talk about it, no comment," then I'm going to assume you did it.
Sure, of course.
And apparently TV Land, Netflix, and NBC are also assuming that he did it because TV Land has pulled his show, The Cosby Show. NBC has scrapped the sitcom involving Bill Cosby. And Netflix, who was supposed to come out with this on November 27th, 2014, a comedy special, is postponing that. So by saying nothing, Bill, maybe you are this, you know, you're just that arrogant, I can get away with anything kind of celebrity.
It really seems that way, and it's too bad. I really liked Bill Cosby. I liked a lot about, you know, he had to say, there's some good things he had to say, and I love The Cosby Show. But this is so sad and so pathetic. So many women are coming forward that it's really hard for me not to believe at least some of them.
You know, and then I also saw someone commenting on the news saying that this was a race driven accusation.
You know what?
Because
come
he's
on.
A black
come
man.
On.
As is Adrian Peterson. Is Charlie Manson black?
Listen, there are a lot of black women coming out saying that they were raped by Bill Cosby. It's not a race thing. And if somebody's using the race card on this one, shame on them. Just shame on them. You know, I don't think people are going to come out and say, "I was raped by Bill Cosby." What woman wants to even admit that?
No, absolutely not. What about Michael Phelps?
No,
man,
no.
The guy's been dating David Roy Fitch, and he thought it was Taylor Chandler. Intersex.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that a lot of people were saying she was born a man. She's transgender. That's not true. She's a woman. She was born with both. But
With both.
She's had both. It's Leanne Chandler or Taylor Leanne Chandler. Yes.
Taylor Chandler.
And she's saying that Michael Phelps has not talked to her since it's been revealed that she was intersex.
Wow.
Do you think they were really actually boyfriend, girlfriend, or?
I don't know. They were a Tinder hookup, and, you know, who knows if it was just a quick thing, but Michael Phelps is not returning calls, and for good reason. So I don't know what to tell you. We got a break for the news. When we come back, we're going to have Jeff Alpert and Law Doc John Stahlberg. Stay with us.
The King's Quest for back-to-back titles and three Stanley Cup championships in 4 years is underway. And the only place you'll catch every slap shot, every bone-crunching hit, and every goal
in front round scores
is here.
Hi, this is Nick Nixon
and Darrell Evans.
Join us for Kings Hockey tonight as the Kings take on the Dallas Stars at 4:30
on your new home for Kings Hockey, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
The KABC Legend Series at the Savan Theater continues with Judy Collins on March 6th and Engelbert Humperdinck Friday, February 20th.
Tell me, when will you be mine?
Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com or by phone at 888-645-5006.
Olive is a yellow lab, 6 years old, full of energy. But, oh, man, Olive was suffering, to use a word, like a dog. She was itching, she was scratching, she was licking. 24 hours a day, she was shedding all the time. And it drove my wife crazy because she had to vacuum the house a couple times a day. So I'm going up the expressway, and the radio commercial comes on.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out. Mounds and mounds of fur. Our hairballs have hairballs.
And I almost drove off the road because I thought this person on the radio commercial was living with my dog, Olive. And I called my wife. I said, dear, you got to check out this product called Dynavite. Go to DINOVITE.com. So we started Olive on the Dynavite. In about 6 weeks, she almost has entirely stopped itching, scratching, stopped licking herself. Most of the hair has grown back under her belly. Unexpectedly, her coat has become smooth and shiny, almost like it was when she was a newborn pup. Olive is happy, and my wife is probably the happiest person because the house is cleaner. 859-428-1000. DINOVITE.com.
DINOVITE.com.
KABC. Traffic first on the board. News around the clock 24/7. Only here.
Radio 790 KABC.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gerby's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Kerry Kasem and Alan Gerby.
And we're back. Wow, this music is really making me feel just jazzed out. It's really cool. So I got to tell you, we were talking about Michael Phelps before we went out on the break. And I just want to tell you a quick story before we get to attorney Jeff Alpert and to Dr. John Stahlberg. So, Kerry, what happened was a friend of mine went to Thailand. And he was telling me this when he came back. And believe me, folks, I don't condone anything that he was doing, but here's how the story goes. He met this woman, and he was taking her back to his hotel. And I guess in Thailand they have some a lot of security because people come and take advantage of young girls.
Yeah.
And they want to make sure they're of the right age. So before they went up to his room, the security guard asked for ID for the young girl, and then he finished looking at the ID and said to my friend, "I got good news and bad news for you." And my friend say, "Well, what is it?" He says, "Well, the good news is she's of age. The bad news,
she's a he." I knew it.
Oh,
the
man.
Lady boys. They are so beautiful. If I'm telling you, I was in Thailand for a while. I was shooting a show there. And we went to, there were strip clubs for women, real women. And then there were the ladyboy strip clubs. And
right.
The ladyboy strip clubs, the women, the ladyboys, were so beautiful. It was unbelievable. Some of them looked like supermodels. I mean,
Yeah. Stunning. Yeah.
And then the other, the real ladies were cute. But they always said if you're really with somebody who's stunning, make sure it's really she.
Well, it's interesting because Taylor Chandler, of course, Michael Phelps' former girlfriend, if you look at the pictures of her, her face looks very manly, but her body is really curvaceous.
Yeah.
So sometimes if you look at facial figures, you can figure out whether, even if someone's beautifully looking. Now, speaking of looks, people who are attracted to each other usually get married if that's what they want to do. They don't have to.
Right.
But when they do, there's so many issues that come up with marriage. And what we're going to talk about for the next half hour, my two guests are staring at me saying, did I really use that as a segue from ladyboys in Thailand to prenuptial agreements?
There's
a tie-in. I'm not sure who it is. We have what it is. We have Jeff Alpert. Jeff, it's an honor to have you with us at Gervie's Law. I know you are an expert on prenuptial agreements, and you are outspoken on the topic. Here with us, of course, is our regular law doc, Dr. John Stahlberg. He's going to talk to us about the psychological and psychiatric ramifications of prenups. So, first of all, for our listening audience, a lot of people may be getting married in the summertime, and they may have to start this process now of prenups because I think what I've been told, you really have to give it a lot of time. You can't just the day before a wedding say, let's do a prenuptial agreement.
That's right. First of all, thank you for having me. And the prenuptial theme has been codified now. So you have to have at least 7 days is what the law says, but if you want to be smart about it, start it off early
right.
and have the conversation. And as far as the conversation is concerned, that conversation should be a positive conversation. I know that the prenuptial, everybody thinks that it's a horrible thing that you have to discuss. Why should we be talking about divorce? When the reality is, divorce is so prevalent in today's day
right.
and age. I even heard a statistic, 76% divorce rate in the state of California. Why would you not have that real conversation? Why would you not talk to your loved one about, look, if things fall apart, let's at least plan for it now like we do with a will and a trust?
I think that people who actually can communicate that have a better chance of making it.
100%.
But if you're not able to communicate or talk about money issues or talk about real life, then you have a problem there. You have a breakdown in communication, first of all, and there's something you might be hiding, or there's something, you know, I believe 100% in prenups, completely. If you can't do a prenup, don't get married.
But the problem is not simply talking about it. It's easy to say, yes, we are agreeing to have a prenup. But the problem is once you start getting into the minutiae of the prenup, that's where the relationship can break down. Because I know a friend of mine who called me. She was a client of mine. She was an injured worker who was getting married. She called me up crying and saying, I'm supposed to get married, and and she used a word that I don't want to use on the radio. She called him a name, fiancé, is wanting to put blank, 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 blank into the prenup. So it's not the fact that they were having a prenup. It's what happened when they started negotiating the prenup that really threw them off.
Well, interesting from my perspective is that if you're going to have that tussle, then whereas what's going to happen once the kids come, once you get into the financial issues in life, how are you going to deal with it then? How are you going to actually work through it?
Right. If you can't deal with it now and you can't have the conversation now, then how are you going to handle it exactly when all these other things come in? That's just why I haven't been married. I mean, I'm you know, people look at me and I'm kind of old for not being married.
No, you're not.
I'm kind of. So, but for me, if I would have gotten married to some of these folks that I dated, okay?
You'd be married about 100 times.
I'd be in big trouble. I would. So, I think it is very important to have that. And Dr. John Stahlberg, what and why do things break down? And why can't women see the importance of prenups?
It's breakdown of trust. But doesn't a prenup mean you don't trust each other? I'm in the process of buying a new car today. I'm going to have that guy, the dealer, because you never believe a car dealer. All kinds of paperwork's going to be signed. And I think it's a sign of you don't trust each other. So I think it leads to negativity.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a good point. I don't know what Jeff thinks about that, but I'll tell you is it has to be about trust.
Yeah.
Because if it's not about trust, then what's it about?
But you're trusting each other to do a contract. You know, the marriages for me that I look up to and I see it, they actually do what they call needs and wants every month. What do you need? What do you want from me? How can we make this better? And to have a contract that says, look, you stuck with this. This is what I needed. This is why I married you, and this is what makes me happy. Same goes for both partners. Why can't you trust each other to have that contract and to go with that contract? Because things change. Life changes.
Yeah,
People change.
And I think they're more important in a second marriage. If the man has a couple kids already,
right.
And the second wife is how much money you're going to give them, how much time you're going to spend with them, get that clarified. But I don't think it's as good the first time.
Let me just say this. First of all, we sound very sexist on this show because I'm sure a lot of people are listening, and there are a lot of women who play the man's role, if that's what you want to call it.
No, that's true. That's very true.
And so we can't differentiate. If you are involved in a prenup or if you have any questions, call us at 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-KABC. If you want to talk about prenups, go ahead, Jeff. You were going
to
say something.
I just have to quash this idea of mistrust because you bring the notion up. If it's done correctly, it only builds trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because the notion is you're supposed to be completely transparent. You're supposed to be out in the open with it. And it's negotiated. And you don't negotiate things like child support. That's not something that goes into the prenuptial. All you're doing is saying, if we are going to get married, and if we end up in a divorce, the divorce court is not going to have a say as to all these issues because you and I have figured out how to make that happen. And we all hope that when you do it, you build the trust through the negotiation process, and then you can stick that agreement in a drawer, and it will never see the light of day.
Yeah, well, that's in the perfect scenario. But again, let's talk about whether there's legitimacy for these prenuptial agreements, because I know a lot of people say people write things in there, and of course in California, isn't it the law that you have, both parties have to be represented by attorney, they have to sign off. You can't just get, for instance, a wealthy male who is prevailing upon his young, beautiful wife, bride-to-be, the provisions and clauses of the prenup. Don't you have to have an attorney sign off on it representing the woman? And if that's the case, is it all legitimate?
When there is a waiver of support, only do you have to have attorneys. But the reality is, if you want it to be enforceable, everybody should have counsel in the process. End of story. And you should have time to contemplate what it is that's going on. The enforceability of these agreements turns on a lot of different legal issues. But the fact is, if you keep it simple, if you start early, you have a full conversation, both parties are represented, you've both decided to enter into a binding agreement, and it's going to stick.
Now, John, do you believe that psychologically what Jeff is saying is true, that people can look at it from the perspective of building trust versus the insecurities? I mean, you deal with this all the time. People have insecurities, especially people who are getting married. I've never seen a more uniform group of people who are so afraid to take a plunge, and that's people who are getting married versus anything else that people do in life.
Yeah, the prenup goes in a drawer and doesn't mean anything until somebody says, "Oh, I'm going to go to the drawer and see what we got in here." Then it's out, and then who knows what can happen. I agree with you that the issue is trust. I don't agree with Jeff. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I believe if you really trust somebody and you know somebody inside and out, you do the agreement. That's what I believe. I mean, I would never get married myself without personally giving my husband a prenup, if he's making more money or not, or if I'm making more money. Anything can happen. You could change. I could change something. Hopefully, God forbid, I am not cheated on, but if I'm cheated on, this is what happens. To me, it's like it just puts it out right in front of your face. This is our relationship. This is what it's going to be. And if things break down or fail, this is how it's going to be. We've both agreed on it now while we're sane and not angry at each other and not going after each other. And, you know, when people are angry, they're not sane. They're not making fair decisions. So if you've done it while you're happy, it seems like it's more sane.
Well, that explanation made sense to me.
Okay.
Not only that, but the stigma of mistrust, just because you bring up the notion of the agreement, is really where you want to see distrust, go down to divorce court.
I know.
You want to see games, go down and sit in any department and watch the people tell their stories at that stage. You can set that up so you avoid all that because you trust each other. You trust each other enough that if somebody's going to set up a will, I mean, Look, estate planning. How many partners talk to each other about what they're doing with their wills and trusts?
Not many.
Not everybody does.
You're right.
No, yeah.
They don't.
And all of a sudden, somebody's taken out of a will. And you know, it's so.
Carrie knows all about that.
Oh, I sure do. Yeah.
You know, but I'll tell you something.
Didn't mean to hit that spot.
Oh, no. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
It's been hit before. Even this morning it was
hit. Over and over again. It's not working anymore.
Anyway.
Jeff, Carrie talked about, cheating in a marriage. Let's get serious here, folks.
Okay.
She talked about cheating in a marriage. Can you put those kind of things into a prenup, like Debbie, who is sitting in our control room now, thinking about the Porky clause. She wants to know, can you put things like if someone gains too much weight or someone cheats, blah blah blah, this will result, or does it just have to be financial? Period.
No, the nature of the beast is the agreement cannot promote divorce. Nobody knows what that means. Really, nobody knows what the hell that means, but. The reality is you can put any conditions you want. You can have any conversation you want in that document. And you should. And if cheating is a problem for somebody and it's that important, then it can cause certain effects of the agreement. Can it change the way you have a property settlement? Sure. Does it mean you get nothing? It shouldn't, because then it can be seen as promoting divorce and unfair. Everybody should know this, one of the last clauses, if anybody's going to do a prenuptial and you want to worry about it being contested, if at the time it goes to be enforced, a court finds it to be unfair and overly to one side than the other, it will not be upheld. So the reality is, if you do it correctly, it's a fair agreement. And that's the conversation that should be had from the beginning.
Right.
Because if it's a fair agreement, then it does build trust, because right. Now I'm being fair with you.
Okay, well, there you have it from Jeff Alpert, Losses of Jeff Alpert. He's at 818-285-5370. That's 818-285-5370. If you're going to do a prenup, or if you're thinking about it, talk to the expert. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this break to talk more about prenuptials. You can call us at 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. We'll be right back.
Time now for
Meet Your King!
Justin Williams, right winger. Willie won the Conn Smythe Trophy for Most Valuable Player in the 2014 Stanley Cup Playoffs. Williams supports numerous multiple sclerosis foundations. In his free time, Williams enjoys watching reruns of his favorite TV show, Seinfeld. Join us next time for
Meet Your King!
He's incredible! On 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we are back. This is the Jazz Hour with Alan Gervey and co-host Carrie Kasem. I am the managing partner of the Jazz Club and the managing partner of your life. So we're talking about prenuptial agreements, and I got to tell you a story of a friend of mine. I have so many friends, and people say, oh, it happens to you. No, this hasn't happened to me. But he was caught cheating by his wife. She actually intercepted some phone calls, and instead of getting divorced, they went into negotiations for what he told me was a post-nuptial agreement. So it was during the marriage, they were still married, and he told me that because of what she learned about his cheating, that she really had him by the...
cojones.
That's it. I don't speak Spanish, but I understand what that means. And the fact is, he gave her everything in the post-nuptial agreement. So Jeff, and we're talking to Jeff Alpert, an expert on prenuptials. Are you familiar with postnuptials, and why do people do them?
Well, very familiar with them, and a lot of people do them because now they're actually having that conversation. They're trying to find a way to save their marriage, and if they're concerned about something, a bad act that happened, somebody's cheating on somebody, somebody steals some money, wasted some money, what have you,
right?
Then all of a sudden they want to actually define the terms of their relationship from the premarital or postnuptial agreement. I will say this, that there is a lot of law that talks about, again, does it promote divorce? And a lot of people come from the area that if you're coming in after the fact and you do a postnuptial, that really what you're doing is setting up the rules once you go file for divorce. So if you do a postnuptial and you file for divorce the next month, probably will not be upheld.
It's like you were negotiating for the divorce
exactly.
Before it happened.
Now, if you call that a settlement agreement to resolve your property, there's a new case that came out in California that says if you do that, it's enforceable in the divorce.
Okay, and explain that. Explain what you're saying. Because you've come up with, okay, so you're getting a divorce, and the two people sit down and they say, okay, here's the post-nuptial agreement?
No. So what will happen is, if you're thinking about divorcing and you're deciding this is what you want to do, prior to filing for divorce,
okay,
you can enter into a property settlement agreement that, as the law stands today, would be enforceable in the divorce proceeding.
Okay. But if you do it when you're before the divorce proceeding, then it's and you want to do a post-nuptial, that doesn't, nuptial agreement, that doesn't count?
No. And our attorneys use that, Jeff?
What's that?
Our attorneys use for the post-nuptial.
Yeah,
sure.
Yes, of course, and they should be.
And
in
psychiatrists
fact,
as well.
In fact,
most of these people need psychiatrists when they're doing a postnuptial.
I would not do a postnuptial agreement. That's pretty funny, Alan. I would not do a postnuptial agreement without first doing what's called a transmutation agreement. It helps set up how the agreement will be enforceable down the road if it needs to be.
Right. We have Aaron on the line. Aaron's calling from Los Angeles. Aaron, welcome to Gervie's Law.
What I want to make is, in traditional Judaism, you have what's called a ketubah. Now, that literally means, and it's a written agreement, a prenuptial agreement. So it covers things from what the duties are, you know, for the male and for the female, you know, and what happens in case of a divorce, you know. It covers monetary, it covers children. And, you know, it's even displayed on the wall of the home after the marriage. So I wouldn't say it's a trust issue.
But
you know,
wait a second, Aaron, I have a question, because I have a ketubah, and it is displayed on the wall in our bedroom. But the fact is, I don't remember negotiating with my wife about, you know, property distribution or about the children or anything. I just remember signing something with a lot of Hebrew written on it, and it said, we're in love forever.
Do you know how many goats you were supposed to give her?
Yeah,
I do not.
Probably
like
in breach of that agreement.
Yeah.
But I want to hear what Aaron has to say about this, because how do you compare? And I understand what you're saying, but how do you compare?
Did you guys not discuss with your rabbi what would happen in case of a divorce? You know, what the proceedings are? You know, what you would give to your wife?
No, we did not talk about the distribution of property or finances. And if you tell me that every Jewish person who gets married talks about that when they're signing ketubah, the big thing with us was how we could get a really nice-looking one and how we got it on the Internet, whether it was going to be hand-painted or not.
And how much.
Exactly. So are you telling me, Aaron, are you married, Aaron?
I am married, yes.
Okay, did you go through all of this as you would with a prenup agreement when you were discussing your ketubah and with your rabbi with respect to divorce?
Yes, we were married in Israel.
Okay.
And when we discussed it with our rabbi, yes, those monetary issues came up.
Smart man.
So the Jews do something to put attorneys out of business. My God.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
I don't know about that. Jeff, let's ask. Go ahead, Aaron, you had something you wanted to say?
Again, so if you look at the tradition of it, it is a written agreement between a man and a woman, you know, how the marriage is going to proceed. And, yes, it does talk about how you will be in love and, you know, so those things are covered. But then it also does cover, you know, the monetary issues if you, you know, take those steps with your rabbi.
Okay, I want to ask Jeff if he's had experience with this. I mean, Jeff, you've been married a couple times, haven't you?
I'm sorry?
Where are we? No comment.
Are we on the Stern Show? What's going on
there
here?
There was a moment of silence. But let's talk about this. How do you compare what Aaron is saying of a ketubah versus a prenup? Because for me, as a lawyer, a prenup to me is a much more formal way to address getting married versus a ketubah.
Well, the ketubah itself, as far as I understand it, is exactly what the caller is saying. But nobody knows what it says because it's all in Hebrew and nobody really...
Well, if you get married in Israel, you might.
I have been in a situation, whether it was a friend or me, had it interpreted, and in fact it says, most of them say that you're supposed to give a certain amount of animals to your bride. You're supposed to give certain livestock and harvests or something, and then it talks about what happens if you do break up. But is it the same process as a prenup? No, because nobody's sitting down with each one has their own counsel, each one has their individual rabbi, and you know, representing them.
Yeah.
But interesting concept.
Yeah, you know, I didn't do that. We have a dog, and Sophie, and I don't know that Sophie was divided up.
You were married three times, right?
No, not three times.
And there could be...
The point I was making was it doesn't necessarily have to be looked at as a bad thing. A
right.
A prenuptial agreement, you know, in the Jewish religion, it's the same concept. If you go back thousands of years ago, or even hundreds of years ago, that would have been the prenup. Now, in modern day, it's not even enforceable in Israel a lot of times. But if you go back, that is what the basis of it is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Aaron, and thank you for the call. But, you know, what I'd like to say is that I don't know that when you do a prenuptial agreement that you put all kinds of, like, the tree of life and these lovebirds and everything on the agreement. It's more of a legal document.
What? Oh, you certainly can put that if you want to add art.
Art.
You can.
Oh, you can draw on it?
And there could be undue influence in the ketubah, right?
That's right. There could be a lot of undue influence.
Right.
So, you know, interesting point. What else do you find in prenuptial agreements, Jeff, when we talk about division of property, spousal support, child support?
Talk about what you won't find, because everything else can be found.
Okay.
You won't find custody orders. You won't find child support orders, or I wouldn't say orders. You wouldn't find language about those. That's not something that can be negotiated. The rest of the world is open to the agreement, because if you think about it from a simple perspective, it's really what is a husband and a wife, or a husband and a husband, or a wife and a wife saying to each other in that moment that they can contract to.
Yeah.
They have to be able to contract directly with each other.
So. And can you trust the attorneys who are negotiating? Because I know you've gone on rants about transparency of attorneys. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so it's very important to know the attorney that you have representing you. It's important to know. Oftentimes these agreements will be set up so that there's a friendly counsel on the other side that will just look at it and say, okay. But in a divorce or any situation where you're hiring an attorney, you want to make sure the attorney is representing you and is not looking to just rake you for fees. And there are red flags that will pop up. It's important that when you go to interview your lawyer that you actually spend the time to find out what it is that they're looking to do for you. And if you're not hearing a conversation about what it is that you really want, what is the attorney's strategy to get to that end goal with some sort of ballpark of what an expectation could be financially, then red flags should be popping up for you.
Good point. John?
I agree. You've got to be real careful. And I want to say a couple things real quick.
Go ahead.
If anybody's an expert on breaststroking, it's Michael Phelps. And I apologize for missing the show a couple weeks ago. There was a miscommunication.
That's funny. And they are large, large breasts. I'll tell you, I saw them on the internet. You know, this has been really an interesting show. Next week, don't miss the show, because we are going to do a special Thanksgiving show, and we're having Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities attorneys on to talk about charities for Thanksgiving, and I am a board member, an honorary board member of that organization. I love the organization. Don't miss next week's show on Thanksgiving.
That's a Canadian pronunciation, organization.
Organization. Thank you, Jeff Alpert.
Thank you for
He's
having me.
818-285-5370, 818-285-5370. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening to Kirby's Law.